This is episode 304 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, November the 1st, 2010.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
I don't think anyone should think this is a license to continue to breach copyright. iNet is not responsible for stopping it.
There's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this.
Netflix aren't better at anything, but we think we've got something, and we call it the iPad.
And today, we're delighted to be present at the creation of digital radio in Australia.
Senator Conroy is completely botching the implementation of this filtering policy of his.
For adults who want to be able to watch the other material, we're not proposing to do that.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McComb, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. Are you one of the millions of people around the world that has embraced online shopping, or are you still concerned about giving your personal details over the internet? Shopping online has certainly matured and become very safe in recent years, but common sense must still prevail. Most large global stores have made the move into the online world, as it opens up markets which would otherwise not normally be available. Another benefit of the online shop is the lower overheads, as organisations don't have to rent expensive retail space, and nor do they have to pay staff wages to keep those retail spaces open. Online stores do open up new possibilities for consumers and retailers alike, but there still remains a few obstacles that need to be overcome. Customer service and secure payments are still the biggest resistive forces that make some consumers shy away from purchasing online. Using credit cards online is still an issue for some, but there are two solutions for this. Firstly, you can use a debit card, which most banks offer these days, and only put as much as you need on the card before you shop. And secondly, use a money bureau such as PayPal to pay for goods and services online. Once you give your credit card or bank details to PayPal, you'll never need to enter the card numbers again online, unless the store you're buying from does not accept PayPal, which is becoming less and less of a problem these days. Having overcome your payment fears, it's time to start reaping the benefits of shopping online. Most retailers pride themselves in the speedy delivery of purchases. Delivery methods are what set good stores apart from not-so-good stores. Most local stores deliver next day via the postal service or a courier company. If there is a small additional cost for delivery, it's certainly worth it when you offset it against time, petrol and parking fees you'd normally pay if you had to shop personally. Not to forget the hassle of Christmas crowds. Online shopping also lets you compare prices easily between shops. Third-party sites such as ShopBot do not actually sell stuff, but instead the robots scour the web looking for the best prices amongst online retailers and then present a list of cheapest to dearest. It's a great way to find out the real value of goods, as well as offering up vendors which you may not have thought of. In the store world, consumers have the opportunity to haggle with shop staff in an effort to get the best price. In fact, most retailers expect this, so they mark items with recommended retail prices and wait for the consumers to haggle. In this world, to compare prices, you have to make your way to another store, which is costly from a fuel and parking point of view, and as well, it takes time. In the online shop, this doesn't happen, as the competitor's store is only a click away, and retailers know this, so in most cases, the best price is already online. There's nothing like a real-world example to demonstrate the savings that can be made shopping online. Take Rivers, for example. Rivers is an Australian clothing company which has stores Australia-wide, as well as an online store which sells to the world. Having selected a pair of shoes to buy, a retail store in Melbourne had the price tag of $89. The same pair of shoes online was just $49, a saving of just under $50. So with that newly found $50, I purchased some additional clothing with a similar discount. As my order was over $100, there was no delivery fee. A successful shop online experience which took me 15 minutes from the comfort of the dining room table, as opposed to the hour and 15 minutes waste of time should I have chosen to drive to the shop in the pouring rain. On the other hand, I recently bought a piece of equipment from Sony, which was listed in the Sony Australia online store for $899. On the weekend, I chose to make the purchase. Another retailer, JB Hi-Fi, which also sold the same piece of gear from Sony, had a 20% off weekend. So I headed to that store to haggle, because that's what they do. At my local shopping centre, JB Hi-Fi and Sony are physically next door to each other, and I ended up getting the best price from the Sony store rather than JB. My $899 recommended retail price device magically became $710, the result of real-world haggling which could not have been achieved online. So in the world of consumerism, shopping online does not replace the local shopping centre. The real world and the virtual world are not mutually exclusive. In fact, it proves that shopping online is an alternative which is really just another string in the consumer's bow, and only reinforces the fact that shopping around is still the best way to get the best price.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Adam Turner parts with some advice to help you set up your very own blog. Apple plans on suing Microsoft over touchscreen technology. Adobe finds exploited flaw in Flash Player. Mount Everest gains its own mobile phone base station. Turkey lifts its ban on YouTube. And the Attorney General's Department has fingered the shift from landline telephones to IP telephony as the trigger for its secretive data retention proposal. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Telstra to cut 950 positions from middle management. File-sharing site LimeWire is shut down by a US court. Australia remains unaffected by defence documents on WikiLeaks. And the Space Shuttle Discovery is on track for a 2nd of November launch. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Telstra has announced its intention to cut 950 middle management jobs over the next 12 months in an effort to improve customer service. The announcement, made by CEO Mr. David Thodey last week, came as no surprise after earlier comments that thousands of jobs would be culled. Mr. Thodey said that the telco would be adopting an online approach to customer service in a move to a simpler business model. In a statement, Mr. Thodey said the layoffs would predominantly affect executives and middle management in capital cities, and that some redundancy entitlements would offer up to 80 weeks' pay. Other forms of assistance would also be provided to affected staff. Telstra has set aside $220 million to cover the cost of these redundancies. Telecommunications analyst Mr. Mark McDonnell from BBY spoke to the ABC's PM program last week. Mr. McDonnell said that Telstra has virtually no growth in its revenue and the only way it can sustain its earnings is to cut costs.
There was a point where they had over 80,000 employees. They've currently got about half that number. So over a 30-year period, there's been a continuous progression of downsizing. Quite frankly, in an industry where we're seeing virtually no revenue growth, prices keep falling every year, costs keep rising every year, there's enormous pressure on management to reduce the cost wherever they can.
Mr. Thodey's press release said that the restructure would save costs, simplify company processes, and improve customer service. Telstra's share price closed at $2.67 on Friday. A United States court has ordered that the file-sharing website LimeWire be shut down and that its sharing of music files be blocked. LimeWire.com now has a message on its website which explains that LimeWire is under a court-ordered injunction to stop distributing and supporting its file-sharing software, and that downloading or sharing copyrighted content without authorization is illegal. The court ruling is the result of civil action initiated by a group of 13 music companies, including Sony BMG and Warner Brothers, against LimeWire. LimeWire's chief executive, Mr. George Searle, said in a statement he was disappointed with this turn of events and that LimeWire had worked hard to bridge the gap between technology and content rights holders. Mr. Searle said that LimeWire now had no option but to cease further distribution and support of its software. However, technology analysts believe the court order will have no impact on illegal file sharing, and until content providers are able to package paid services in a way that's compelling to consumers, people will simply find other ways to download and share content illegally. On government radio last week, Mr. Mark Pesci from the University of Sydney.
They shut Napster down. Immediately the audience went to Nutella. They shut Nutella down. Again, it goes to LimeWire and so on and so on and so on. And so the lesson that needs to be learned here is that there are more things popping up than you can shut down.
The US court will be conducting a trial in January next year to determine damages to be awarded against LimeWire. Australian troops have been unaffected by the release of thousands of sensitive documents from the Defence Department on the infamous WikiLeaks website. The documents, nearly all belonging to the United States, detailing military operations in Afghanistan, had been scrutinised by a special task force within the Australian Department of Defence. According to Defence Minister Mr Stephen Smith, the release of the 77,000 files, which mentioned some Australian operations, had caused no damage. Mr Smith said the task force would now be analysing a new series of leaked documents, which were made publicly available by WikiLeaks on Friday. The new documents apparently chronicle claims of abuse by Iraqi security forces. WikiLeaks is an international organisation that publishes information contributed by anonymous sources. Its contributions come from journalists, internet activists, and government whistleblowers. And the Space Shuttle Discovery's final launch date has been put back one day to the 2nd of November because of a leak in a pressurisation system. A Kennedy Space Center spokesperson said last week that two leaks had developed on the Space Shuttle's maneuvering system on its right side, and that the launch had been put back 24 hours, assuming the repairs were successful. Discovery is the oldest orbiter in service and the busiest in history, with a record 38 trips into space. STS-133 will be Discovery's last mission before its scheduled retirement and the fourth and final shuttle flight of this year. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Lena has come in to fill a gap. Hello, Lena, how are you?
Good, how are you?
And she looks like she kicks some serious butt.
Can I just have a gadget for Chrome that stops Facebook?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
A bit.
On repeats of old SD.
It worked, but it was A, too complicated, and B, priced badly.
What's a 200 megabit power line pass-through adapter?
Andrew, push play.
No, I'm not going to push play.
You look like you're
really, really silly. Just...
All right, well done, Sony.
I think he must have been overcome with all the Mac news. He had the vapors when he was at home.
Oh, really?
Recovering.
Is that what it was?
Retired to his fainting couch.
Why do I need electronic assistance just to like something?
And you'll find iPhoto apps, Garbage Band, iMovie, and all of the
Garage
Apples.
Band.
Garage Band. What did I say?
Do you want me to push play now?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
A very good evening, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. The first one for November. If you're listening to us on the stream, g'day. If you're listening to us on the radio in Melbourne on 94.1, 3WBC, hello. And all the other stations that take us around the countryside. Welcome. We're a strange little show. We've been going for about 6 years now, apparently. Allegedly, we should use the word. And each week we have a great collection of panelists, special guests come in and we talk about tech, which is what we do. And tonight is no difference. I have Graham in the corner. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Andrew.
Thanks for coming in. We've got a spare...
My pleasure.
Got a spare seat tonight.
Yes.
They're all fading like flies, although we knew Dr. Ron wasn't coming in, but nonetheless, he's virtually here. He's been in some promos for us. He's been very busy during the week, too.
Making his recordings and editing his little things.
He does
a good job in his little back office there, doesn't he?
He does. He should do it professionally. Apart from what he does, probably earn a lot more money out of it anyway, but that's another story. And also joining us is that female voice that everyone's saying, who is that woman? Hello, Lena.
Who's the new voice on TikTok?
Who's the Lena chick? Is the questions that have been coming through. She's here to answer all your questions and more about beer and mosh pits.
Bacon.
Yeah, good. Hi, Lena. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Did you get away from the console this week? Got any new gadgets, games and things to play with? I'm sure you've got plenty.
I've got lots on at the moment.
Really?
Lots of exciting
What's
games.
Big, without going into great amounts of
My
detail?
My favourite this week so far has been Costume Quest.
See, this is all new to me. I have
What's
no idea what that
quest?
Is.
It's a little cartoony style RPG, and it was absolute barrels of fun. Loved every minute of it and didn't want it to end.
So you're making a bit of a gig out of reviewing games. We might as well talk a little bit about you now whilst you're here. She's a 20-something mum, and she just rocked up one night and we let her in.
Yep.
She snuck in.
Fools!
And anyway, she's managed to find her way into a microphone, especially with the absenteeism of a couple of members of recent times, not because they didn't want to, just that they've got a life outside of what we're doing at the moment. And Lena's really, it's been great having Lena in to fill the big shoes.
Otherwise, it'd just be you and me, Andrew, and that wouldn't...
I know. We've got to keep the Mac PC balanced because apparently we're not that... How's the word?
Well, I hear these accusations that we're anti-Apple, and I don't know that's... I don't think that's true.
I've got one.
But have you?
Yeah. Don't use it anymore, but I've got one. I've got an iPhone thingy.
Yes.
I've been converted to the dark side. I like Droid. Droid's good these days. Oh, sorry about that. So, Lena also has a... She's keeping up appearances. She's brought the only Apple
notepad. Note. What is it?
MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro.
Mm.
Does it have GarageBand on it?
It's got GarageBand on it, yes.
Sorry, I keep getting that wrong.
See, that's why we get a bad reputation.
Oh, is it me, is it?
I'm sorry. Must be.
Someone sent me. Someone sent me a tweet the other day. Had a go at me. I must read it out later on in the show. Well, had a go at us, more the point.
Oh, yes.
But nonetheless... you'd be sure of your facts. Something about Apple Exchange prices or something like that. I'll dig it up very shortly and have a bit of a look-see. Anyway, yes, this is Tech Talk Radio. And tonight, we've got all sorts of interesting things. Adam Turner is going to be talking about blogs. Have you got a blog, Graham?
No.
I know that's a leading question. Why not? Seriously, why don't you have a blog? Is it just because you don't need one, don't want one?
I don't feel the need to sit down and... express my inner thoughts to all and sundry who don't really care.
You must be the only one.
Yeah.
But you're on the radio right now, expressing your thoughts and opinions.
Well, I'm on the radio trying to impart some useful information, I suppose.
You can do that on blogs.
I choose to do it on the radio.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Lena chooses her point of contact with all of her followers is through a blog.
It is.
The grass is greener on Lena's
grass
blog
is leaner.
Page.
The grass is leaner.
And how long have you had your blog for?
Not long, about 6 months, something like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what do you put on your blog?
Anything that tickles my fancy, really. Mostly it's reviews and a few feature articles and things.
Ah.
Mm. And for those who are looking for it, it's grassislena, LEENA.com.
Indeed.
So LEENA is the bit that you're probably not sure how to spell.
Yeah. I get a lot of different hits from different kinds of Google searches, spelling it in all curious ways.
Blogs are good. I used to have one. I still do have one. I just don't use it all that frequently. I'm just very time challenged these days. I'm quite looking forward to Christmas. By the way, did you know that we've only got 4 real shows to go before the special end of year Christmas show, which we're going to be talking about?
Special end of year Christmas show?
Yeah, it's going to be real special this year. We've got bonbons.
Do the listeners know that there's a special end of year Christmas show?
Well, you started to stir them all up about it last week. I recall.
before I was officially allowed to mention it.
So we've got an official announcement which will be along very shortly. So you'll just have to watch this space.
So listen up. There'll be more information about that later on in the show.
Anyway, so yeah, Lena, what else? You're a gaming girl. You love your games.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
You're the complete opposite. You're mutually exclusive of everybody else here in the Tech Talk Radio. So balance. It's really good.
It is good.
So how long have you been gaming for? Like, was this a misspent youth type sort of thing? Or
pretty
was,
much. Yeah. Only child.
Yeah.
So you know.
And your parents kicked you out at a young age because you wouldn't get out of the house.
No, actually,
the Nintendo was the babysitter. Is that the idea?
Pretty much. Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun.
What was the first console you had?
Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES.
NES.
The first one, yep, the NES.
See, I don't even know what that is.
But I was only allowed to own one game because Mum was a bit worried I'd turn into one of those gaming freaks.
You were right, Mum.
Yep.
You were right, Mum. Right on the money.
And where she made a mistake was she bought me the cartridge that had Mario and Duck Hunt on the same one. So I actually got 2 games, so it was all
over. 2 games on one cartridge.
Yeah, sucked in.
Bargain. Mum. And one of them was Mario, and now you've had to buy every single Mario game ever since?
Pretty much.
I like Mario.
Oh, no.
Although there are a lot of Mario games
Mario
out there.
Is good.
Mm.
Probably about the only game I play on the kids' Nintendo DS thingy.
Yep.
Everything else is boring, moving right along. So, yeah, misspent youth, kids. Yes. Mm. So where to now? You're focusing on the games? Good thing to do, blogging and writing all that sort of stuff
it's
when you're
really
at
good.
Home with a kid because
exactly,
it's got plenty
yeah.
to do while he sleeps then or she sleeps.
Exactly,
or, yeah.
because being a stay-at-home parent, not working, I started, you know, my brain started to atrophy a little bit. Started to lose my mind. So blogging was a great way to exercise my brain meats as such and mm-hmm. get it all, the creative process mm-hmm. all going. And it was a good way to pull the things out of my head and put them somewhere.
So I'm just picturing you at home at night. You've put the kid to bed.
Yep.
You fired up the console
mm-hmm.
and you and hubby sit there and just waste the hours through to the wee small hours of the morning. Or is this...
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Pretty much, yeah, with my notepad next to me, and he doesn't always join in.
Doesn't he?
No, sometimes.
He looks strange at you.
He bails.
He says, no more games.
Yep.
All right, so there you go. Hopefully that's a bit of an insight into the new member
I'll say
of the
well,
Tech Talk Radio
I'm the,
panel.
I'm the indie game section editor for Resolution Magazine.
Oh.
Yes.
What's an indie game? An independent game?
Yes.
Okay.
So sort of the one-man band kind of operations made in people's homes while they've got their other job as well.
Yeah. Is there a lot of that goes on in Australia or is it mostly overseas? Or
there's a fair bit actually in Australia. We've got a pretty good little indie community, but there's a lot more in the UK and America. Yeah.
Mm. We should talk about that some stage.
Yes, we will.
Indie. Like independent films, really, isn't it? Saw a really good film last night, actually. Australian film.
What did you see?
Animal Kingdom. Highly recommend it. It's on Blu-ray. It's all to do with the corruption. Well, not corruption. It's all to do with Underworld here. Another underbelly. Different family earlier on in the... But anyway, that's not what the show is about.
Okay.
Speaking of films, though...
Tech Talk Radio and movie reviews.
Yeah, yeah. Have you managed... Anyone here seen the new Social Network yet?
Not yet.
To all rave reviews. You know, the...
I was just saying earlier tonight, I saw an ad for it on the TV, and I'm thinking... I really have to go and see it. Right. Not that I want to see it. I bagged it on the show last year without it. Last week without having even seen it, and I thought it
Rotten
didn't
Tomatoes.
Sound like it was my cup of tea.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it 98%. That's pretty. Yeah. That's huge.
See, what's that? Yeah,
that's pretty huge. Not even Avatar only got to 94. Just to give you put it in perspective, and I think there's only been some of the like the early Toy Stories and things like that have actually. I think Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs cracked 100 on it as well. But that's probably about it. It's very, very rare that you get 98%. Anyway, we did throw out the gauntlet. Anyone out there in Tech Talk land listening to us on the radio, on the stream, who has seen it, love a review. We just haven't got there. Actually, it's a public holiday here in Melbourne tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow's the day. Go to the flicks. Check it out.
Play some games.
No. No. Yes. Anyway. All right. Now, earlier this week, we're going to talk a bit about online shopping. I had an online shopping experience this week. I had a really bad experience, which forced me to go online, and I bought some shoes, you might have heard in the opening of the show.
Shoes?
Shoes, yes. Just
you're turning into a girl. Girls buy shoes.
Welcome.
What have you got on your feet then, my friend?
Yeah, but they're like utilitarian shoes. They're not...
Well, these were just runners, for goodness sakes.
Oh, fair enough. All right.
Anyway, I went to a river shop and had a bad experience, and I went to the rivers online and had a good experience.
All right.
And paid half the price for it.
And from the same place online as compared with...
Mm.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the shop sold them for $89, and online you got them for $49.
Did they have a special promotion on or something?
Didn't seem to be. I just logged in to buy them, and I think that's just what margin for retailing is these days. So... yeah, it was good with the extra.
Yeah, the web server farm is a lot cheaper to run than a whole heap of employees.
Yeah, you don't have to
running around with little foot measuring things.
Correct, you don't have to have rude people giving you grief in shops. So as a result, that's why I bought online. But it was a good experience, and the extra money that I saved, I ploughed back into.
But the online shoe shop can't run out with one of these little foot measuring devices that they have, and they.
No,
they can't do all that
stuff.
There is
a good foot measuring device. It's called your foot. If you take it off, take your shoe off, chances are the size is written inside the boot.
Oh, not anymore. It's all worn off.
But that depends on whether you buy your shoes from Australia or from overseas, where all the sizes are different. That's where it starts getting confusing.
Yeah, same with jeans.
Mm.
Mm. It's good.
Mm.
Anyway, online shopping is the way to go, especially at the dollar at the moment.
Chances I must admit, I've bought a lot more online in the last sort of 12 to 18 months than I have previously.
So give me your tips for online shopping, Graham. How do you transact? Because the biggest issues are obviously security issues for your credit card details.
Yep.
Personal issues in respect to name, address, and all those other things that tend to go out there. And, of course, the other thing is there a limit that you buy online? Do you trust a large purchase online? Would you spend thousands or would you spend hundreds or tens?
Yeah, it all depends. The more I spend, the more particular I'm going to be. I wouldn't spend thousands with a company I'd never heard of before. If I was spending, you know, hundreds or thousands, I would be going with someone that I knew from the real world in some way, or somebody that had that reputation. Even if they're online only, you know, like Amazon, you know, you know that they are who they say they are.
Yeah, a member of my family's gone gangbusters on Amazon at the moment with the dollar. Oh,
wow, it's easy to do, isn't it?
You want to buy books? Buy them from the States. They're cheap as chips.
But there's also local bookstores that are online. All the big
Borders.
Yep, Dimmicks are online.
Yep.
All the big bookstore chains are online. So it's worth shopping around between the different ones.
And we're city slickers too. Like, we can just jump in our cars and drive down to the local shopping centre, but for those who are...
but who's got the time to?
Well, yeah.
During business hours when the shops are open, guess where I am? I'm working.
Yeah, but...
In front of my customers.
Yeah, well, me too, but that doesn't stop other and people going shopping, let me tell you.
I don't have that issue.
Late night, Thursday night trading?
But by Thursday night, I'm tuckered out. I need to go home and have a rest.
So without going into too much personal information, what sort of genre do you buy online? Do you buy tech? Do you buy music? Do you buy clothing? What do you buy?
Mostly tech. What's the most recent thing I bought online? Replacement power supply for a notebook I bought online recently.
Was that eBay or did you go to a manufacturer's site?
I went to a manufacturer's site and got redirected to a reseller's site. that was listed on the manufacturer's homepage,
mm-hmm.
and got a pretty good price for a replacement power supply for a laptop. What's the thing? Oh, before that, I got my business cards. I got for my new business. I got those online, and that was a really interesting experience because I was able to find. I found a couple of different companies that were doing it. There's a company that actually Lena put me onto in the UK called moo.co.uk.
Is that how you got in the door?
It is.
Oh, we'll talk after the show. Okay.
He was walking past.
I recognised him. Okay. I just slipped my card in his pocket.
That's it.
And the rest is history.
And they do interesting things with designs and having variation between the designs. You can get a pack with 10 different designs or 100 different designs.
Yeah. So you're each confident, one is unique. You felt confident in buying that sort of material online?
Well, yeah, I did a bit of research and Googled around and read some forums and found out if anyone was complaining about them anywhere. And
That's the key to it, isn't it?
You've got to do research. It is, yeah. Research is the key.
Mm. Yeah. Lena, own up, fess up. What do you buy online?
Ooh, T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Lots and lots of T-shirts.
Yeah.
Funny T-shirts and T-shirts with things that I like on them. And
they're pretty cheap. They're easy.
Dirt cheap.
Any bad experiences?
Not with trusted brands. No, Threadless and Snorg and the big names. They're fine. But
how do you feel with your credit card online? Is that sort of all a bit buy or leave now, or do you use PayPal, or how do you work?
I hate PayPal.
Really?
I will avoid it like the plague.
Why is that?
I will avoid selling things on eBay because they force you to use PayPal now, because I just hate it. They quadruple dip into your money. And I dislike it.
Yeah, Dr. Ron goes along the same line. Yeah. They do like taking a fair whack.
They take so many little tiny tidbits, and then you add them all up and realise that they've taken 50% of what you were dealing with in the first place.
Is that the price you pay, though, for a secure transaction online by just giving your email address and
it's
not
the
having
price you pay for being a small player trying to sell things, I think.
Yeah. If you're dealing with a lot, it's fine. Because I think if you try and take out your money out of your PayPal account when it's got less than $70 or something in it, you get slugged with a fee, and then I think it might be a sliding scale up from there or something like that.
But from the online shopping point of view, you're not using and you're talking about PayPal if you're selling stuff.
That's right, yeah.
PayPal, for someone who's buying things, is actually a really good service.
Yeah, it feels secure and everything.
Yeah.
She just had to vent. That was therapy. Can you give me a Medicare card, please, as you leave?
It felt good. But no, it's I like to sell things in order to buy more things, you see. Yeah.
I must admit, I like PayPal for the reason that you enter your credit card details once and you just shop online with a password and email address after that, and also your delivery address and all that is all safe and stored and secured and things like that, and I find that quite well. The other option too, the debit card, the debit Visas and the debit MasterCards that you can get these days lets you use credit online. You're shaking your head.
I'm shaking my head really hard.
Why?
Because there's no security with those.
No, that's the point.
Mm.
Because you can actually just go and load it up with $50 or transfer it electronically in your internet banking onto your card and then make your transaction.
But then if someone takes, say, $800 out of there and you go into,
But they can't because there's not $800 on it.
Yeah. It's like a limit. FPOS.
But I thought you could still, it like worked exactly like a credit card, except it didn't have that added security.
It doesn't have credit behind it.
Only available funds, they don't offer credit.
Oh, good. But even then, if someone takes out all the money that you've put in there.
In the 2 seconds between transferring it in and buying your online thing,
But that's all they can take.
But even then, it's gone when it's gone isn't it? You can't call up and say, hey, I didn't authorize that, and then they forget about it like with a credit card.
Well, it is a credit card. You can still contest an issue.
Can you?
Yes, you can. Being a merchant, I know all about these things.
Oh, good.
So
good. I'm wrong on that one. I'm glad I'm wrong on that one.
And it does depend on who your provider is. I mean, if you're getting a debit card through your major bank, then it's probably got the similar rules to the other major credit cards. But there's like these gift cards and things around. That's like a Visa card that you just buy in the 7-Eleven, and I think they're a little bit slacker with security.
Yeah, I'd imagine. In the States, you just buy them over the counter. It's amazing.
Well, you do here too.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
Yeah, it, in 7-Eleven and all the supermarkets and all kinds of places.
I'll have to look.
These more gift cards you get, and they're just a Visa card that you load up with a certain amount of money, and you go.
I'm still using one I bought in the United States a couple of months back on my Apple. I've got a US account as well as an Australian account.
Oh yes,
and iTunes.
Off your iTunes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That gets complicated.
Yeah.
I would love one of those.
Yeah, all you need is an American credit card. Just if you know one in the States, get them to buy one, and send it over to you.
I might, because you can get review codes for games for the iPhone if you have a US iTunes account. Oh, you can't with
we shouldn't talk about that. They'll close down the loophole. It's terrible. Yeah. All right. This is Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb, Graham Callaghan, and Lena. How do you say your last name?
It's Van Deventer.
Is it Dutch?
Yes.
Yeah, good. What she said.
In Dutch, you would say Van Deventer.
Really?
But yeah, but in English, just Van Deventer is fine.
Mm. Oh, very good.
Yes.
Around the world, you're listening to Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio.
And Telstra is in the news this week for lots of reasons. Dr. Ron went into it a little bit in the news this evening. But one of the main issues this week is a privacy concern. Have you heard about this, guys? Basically,
no.
What happened
What's
is
the, privacy concern?
The Australian Privacy Commissioner will investigate a botched Telstra mail-out that saw 220,000 letters containing personal information sent to the wrong customers.
Ooh.
Whoops. The letter was incorrectly addressed, so recipients opened mail that contained name, phone number, and telephone plan of other customers, according to ACMA. And, that's a bit of a faux pas. I must admit, the bigger you get, the harder you fall, I think. Because I've logged into my Telstra account, something that I don't think you've ever been able to do, Graham, have you?
No, not since the late 90s, no.
Yeah, you can tell when they've got computer issues because you log in and you get someone else's service come up on the screen. That's happened to me twice now.
That should never happen.
In the course of years that I've been doing it. And I think it's also happened on other telephone providers as well. But, you know, obviously when things just don't go quite right, technology fails them.
You can understand, in one way, you can understand how easy that would be, as you know, just a slight error in the way it calculates or works out your account number in the background. But really, that sort of stuff should never make it out to the public.
So that was a bit of a thorn in Telstra's side this week. Not sure what's going to happen there. There's ongoing investigation with ACMA, which is the Australian Communications and Media Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll have something to say about it if Telstra are at fault.
Mm. Anyway, also this week, or today actually, Windows 7 phone. Phone 7?
Do we have to say WinFo 7?
WinFo 7.
I don't want to say WinFo 7. I don't like that. It sounds silly.
Why?
I don't know. It just sounds silly. Windows Phone 7, yeah.
Hit the streets. It's now officially available. If you want to go and buy a device with WinFo 7 on it,
you can.
You can. The HTC 7 Trophy. Now, I'm a bit of a fan of HTC.
A trophy.
It's called a trophy, this device. You can get it from, I think, Vodafone and 3. Put it on sale today on their website. Whether they've got stock or not's another thing. But Dave Glover, who was in from Microsoft the other day, gave us a personal demonstration. We asked lots of questions about it about 3 or 4 Tech Talks shows ago?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So you can hear the interview if you want to go and listen to it. It's still online. If, in fact, nearly everything's online.
Yes, but all the old shows are there.
Yeah, it's sort of... This will be the testing time for it, really, leading up to Christmas.
Well, it's a big thing that Windows, they've got a bit of an interesting history. They had some of the earlier smartphones running early versions of... what was it called back then? It was called Windows CE and its successors. And then they sort of, the iPhone came out and sort of everything changed, and then Android's come out and there's been lots and lots of developments in the sort of smartphone arena since Microsoft last released anything new. So this is a sort of, it's unfair to say they're a late entry into the smartphone market because they were one of the first players, but in a way they are a late entry into the sort of the current generation of smartphone devices. So will be very interesting to see how they go.
I'm sitting on the fence. I think they've got it all in front of them. They've got a lot of hard work to sort of get anywhere near
what
Google are doing with Android.
As always, though, Microsoft have got all the advantages because they've got their operating system on everybody's desktop and they've got their Office suite running everybody's business.
Yeah, you can
say
that.
Everybody uses Outlook, everybody uses Word, everybody uses Excel. And if you want it all to connect together, a lot of big businesses use Exchange Server. If you want everything to work together, it's likely that particularly in the big business arena...
So you're saying they're pitching it at enterprise.
Well, I'm saying that that's where Microsoft have got big advantages over all the others. That's the one thing. And because they've already got all that stuff out there, they've got in front of every user, they've got a Windows operating system. They've got, Windows Office Suites, Windows Microsoft Servers.
Yeah, the same can be said for Google, though. In Australia in particular, 90% of people use Google as a search engine.
Well, no, the same can't be said. Yeah, maybe.
It's on front of it's on their desktop. And, like, Yeah, there's a great gadget I came up with during the course of the week, which I'll tell you about now. It's a little app that runs on your HTC device running Android, and it's called Chrome to Phone. Now, you're a Chrome user.
I'm a Chrome user, yeah.
What you do is if you're on a web page or there's a phone number or something on a web page and you want to call that number, you highlight it and you click the icon at the top of the screen, and instantly it comes up ready to perform an action. If it's a map location, it'll bring up Google Maps and
yep.
it puts the pin on the map and says, this is the location. If it's a phone number, it goes and so all you have to do is click dial and it dials a number
yeah.
and it does it instantly.
And that's where Google
that's
have...
really nice.
That's where Google have an advantage because they're linked into all that back-end data that they've got, all the search information, the maps, the you know all that stuff, because that's Google's strong point.
Yeah, but you just drew the Microsoft, same parallel with
well,
Microsoft.
Well, Microsoft's strong point is a different thing. There isn't a Google device sitting on everybody's, in everybody's workplace, but there is Microsoft software.
Not everywhere.
So, almost everywhere.
All right.
No, you're right. It's not everywhere, but
look at the person sitting next to you here. Exhibit A.
Sitting here grinding my teeth.
Well, don't grind your teeth. Argue with me if I'm wrong, okay. but not wrong because
no, you're not wrong.
The majority of them, particularly in business, unless you're talking about the arts side of things, Microsoft products.
Lena, you're an Apple user.
Yes.
You have an iPhone.
Yes.
You have a Mac on the desktop here. Do you use MobileMe?
No.
Why? Because isn't that the conduit that connects it all together in Mac world?
It is, but it's a price I couldn't justify at the time, I think, when it was decision time. Yeah, but I do love the features of it, and I think especially that nifty little feature where if it gets stolen or something, you can track it is really good.
Now, MobileMe synchronizes all your desktop stuff to your iPhone. Is that the idea?
Yep.
To the cloud somehow.
Yeah. It's a bit how Gmail sits in between your Android and your desktop and the Exchange stuff.
And how Exchange sits between Outlook and your Windows phone, yeah.
So we've got the three main players all with very similar offerings, haven't we?
Yes.
And it's just a matter of choose the tool of your choice.
And if you're a very, very smart entrepreneur, you can make them all talk to each other.
Well, now that's going
to
be...
Well, you don't have to be that smart either. I mean, that's one thing about the iPhone and the Google phone, both talk seamlessly to Exchange. So they And obviously, the reason they've done that is because they know this is where Microsoft can trump them if Microsoft gets it right and they don't. So they've obviously, Apple and Google have both made sure that their phones do connect back to the Exchange, which is, it's not just the email server of most businesses, but it's the email and it's the contacts and it's the, the address book and all that stuff. And it's the, address lists. What else is in there? The calendaring, the scheduling.
Data transfer.
Is all in Exchange and Outlook and therefore hopefully on your smartphone as well for your calendar. And don't underestimate how important the calendar is to most business users.
Oh, no, I use it on the Droid here. Oh, it's terrific. It's really good.
I run my business on Google, on the Google calendar.
Yeah, wakes you up at 3 in the morning when you forget to... Anyway, that's another story. look, I think this is where we're all heading. Smartphones are it. You know, you look at the Symbian operating system and you look at what Adam talked about last week on the program with the new N8 that's come out, which has very much forgotten its purpose in life from paraphrasing what he sort of said.
Yeah, the reviews for that are not good.
Yeah. So, look, it's time to replace your phone. You've got to look at a smartphone. There's a lot of plans coming out, which is all really good as well. It just choose the right tool for you. Choose the right operating system. If you're a Mac person, you've got Macs at home, get the Mac. Use that. If you're a PC person, get Microsoft. If you're an Exchange person, should I say, get Microsoft. And if you just like being social and all that sort of stuff, you can sit in the middle of the road and get the Droid thing because it all talks. It's beautiful. I love it. That's the way technology should work. Earlier on in the show this evening in my opening thing, I think I said the wrong thing and I'm going to make an apology now. Uh-oh. Because of Microsoft people going, what the? There's another company in the tech world that also starts with M, and when you record things at strange hours of the morning, you can make boo-boos. And I think I did on this occasion. Apple is suing Motorola, not Microsoft. So
okay.
I publicly apologize.
Why are Apple suing Motorola?
Well, have a guess. It's pretty easy and straightforward to work out. It's the touchscreen application on the front of all your little gadgety
things.
Did
they do a pinch and two-finger things that they're not allowed to do?
Yeah, well, Apple is suing rival Motorola, claiming the Droid smartphone maker infringes on 6 iPhone patents. Apple, which launched its attack in 2 separate lawsuits on the same day, says Motorola is purposefully using its touchscreen software as well as other display technologies. Now, I would have thought display technologies would have been sort of, part of the hardware, not the software.
So, Apple, who made the iPhone and came up with this interface...
Yeah, the lovely device that is the iPhone, yes.
...are suing Motorola...
Yes.
Over features that are included in a Google operating system.
The Droid smart
Android, yeah.
Phone maker. Yes. Well, that's how it's been described.
Now, this is not the first time this has come up where they've gone over, they've gone after the manufacturer of the device rather than Google, who actually originated the software. And it's an interesting tactic on Apple's part. So,
well, maybe Motorola's pockets aren't quite as deep as Google's. Is that what you're suggesting, Greg?
Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe they think that, Motorola won't be able to defend it as vigorously as Google would.
Well, anyway, Apple said in a 9-page document, which was filed last week, Motorola's infringing activities have caused and will continue to cause Apple irreparable harm, for which it has no adequate remedy at law, unless Microsoft's infringing activities are...
Motorola.
See,
you did it again.
I did it again. Unless they stop that. So there you go. It's really what's going on. Anyway, tit for tat sort of stuff. And Motorola hasn't responded yet, so it'd be in the hands. A lot of lawyers getting incredibly rich over things like this.
Yeah, can't wait to see what the results of some of these are going to be.
Chat.techtalkradio.com.au. I should look on my screen. I haven't been, it's been interesting discussion here this evening. If you want to come along and say good day, you can also send us a tweet. If you like, you can tweet me. Tweet Tech Talk Radio, which is tech_talk_radio. Someone did during the week. I will bring it up shortly and I will talk about it.
Very good.
But before we do that, I'd like to talk a little bit about Adobe. Adobe finds an exploit in Flash Player. Now, we've all got Flash Players, which is why I thought it's probably...
Apple iPhone users don't know.
Not all of us.
Not on your... I've got an iPhone and I've got a... What's the iPad? See, I brought one of those back from the States. You all boo-hooed me and said you'd never do it. But it's great. They're good devices.
It's okay.
Have you got one?
It's okay, Andrew.
Thank you. I feel cleansed now.
I'll get an iPad when it has Retina display and a camera.
Okay.
I'll get it.
Could be a while.
I know. Yeah.
Adobe has reported a flaw in its Flash Player and in a component of Reader, which we all have. And it basically lets, it's same old, it lets attackers come in and do nasty things on your computer. And there's some nasty things out there at the moment. I got spam today from the tax office again. You know it's not from them because they said, you have information about your refund. Well, sorry, buddy, I have to pay. That's how I knew it was spam. But, Graham, exploitation in these type of programs is fairly common, isn't it?
Fairly common. You create something as complex as most of these software packages are, and that this goes for all the manufacturers, not just Adobe or Microsoft or Apple, they're all in exactly the same situation. Every now and then someone finds something that's not quite right and allows people to get in and do things they shouldn't, and the manufacturer needs to put out an update to close the loophole. So the moral of the story is keep your software up to date. So if you've got Adobe software installed on your computer, whether it's Flash Player or you've probably got Adobe Reader installed as well, maybe a couple of other things, particularly when you hear stories like this, go to the Adobe website and update them all, bring them all up to date. And if they're offering you updates, which quite a lot of them do, they'll install an automatic updater so they will know that they need updates, and there'll be a little reminder flashing in the bottom of your screen or somewhere on your screen saying, please update me. Do that.
Java
do
does
the
that
updates.
A lot.
Yeah.
Java being sort of the underlying internet sort of protocol-y thing. Everything uses Java. Mobile phones, the works.
Yep, Java is a programming language that works on a lot of different types of devices. And Java on your computer, will often want to update itself. Now, the only warning I'll give when these updaters come up is don't just blindly click next, next, next through all the screens. Because what will happen then is that they'll include extra things along with the update that you do need. They'll include extra things that you really don't need. So, if it says, important updates to your Sun Java software, and you open it up and you click next, and it says, we'll install an important update to bring it up to the latest security patch or whatever, and you do that. And then it gives you another screen that says, would you like to also install this extra software that you didn't ask for that's got nothing to do with the security update? You must untick that box and don't install it, because installing it just encourages the bastards. Okay? So, do not be tricked into installing things that you don't want and you don't need by these updaters. You read every screen and untick the things that you don't need, and it will make it clear which ones are the ones that are optional and which ones are the ones that you really should have.
I remember a Tech Talk Radio from several years back, and you started the keyword foistware.
Foistware, that's exactly what it is.
It's foisted upon you, and you unsuspectingly click the install button.
Yep, and some of the biggest players in the market, Sun, got to be one of the biggest players in the computing market, who are responsible for Java. Sun, with their updaters for Java, will foist upon you the Google toolbar. Which you don't need. It's installed on every PC that I encounter, I think, except my own.
Yeah, because people just go around.
Gets installed, and I say to them, "Why did you install the Google toolbar?" And they say, "I didn't. It just appeared one day."
You should try, kids. You've got this all in front of you, Lena. When your little tacker gets there and he starts downloading stuff, and I don't let them on my computer, but my wife does, and you go in there, and there's all sorts of strange toolbars there.
Once upon a time, there was a good reason to install the Google toolbar. It gave you features that you didn't have otherwise. Now, it still does provide some features that you don't have otherwise, but quite often they're features that no one wants and no one's using. It's just been foisted upon them in some other update. So, unselect it. If you've got it there and you didn't intend to install it, and it's using, you know, at the end of the day, what it's doing is it's sitting there using valuable processor time and occupying valuable screen space that you could be using to view the web page you're trying to look at.
Yeah.
So, go into your Add Remove programs, get rid of it, and check for it next time you do the other updates.
Bar FM on our chat is sort of saying that they're full of viruses. I think they like
there
spying.
Are other toolbars
they
that
spy
are
and
yeah,
do things
the
like
Google
that.
Toolbar is not full of viruses, but there are a lot of what I classify as malware. They're not quite viruses, but they're certainly not software that you'd want to have around on your computer that do install extra toolbars. And again, if you start seeing those,
the creepy old man breathing over your neck at the library,
you just
don't want it there.
That's right. Mm. Yep. Anyway. It's a good analogy because they are doing is they are watching everything you click on, everything you read, and sending that back as marketing information.
Patch Tuesday is the Microsoft day. Adobe, if you've got anything Adobe on your machine, you'll see that little Adobe updater thing appears.
Yep.
And it downloads stuff, so be wary if it does big downloads. It can just sit there and do it in your idle time. Tell me about the Mac side of stuff, Lena. I know, because all the major manufacturers do their updates. Do you have to, on your machines, does it just happen? Do you get annoying little things that there's, like, you know, us PC users, when you see an iTunes update and it sort of throws everything else at you, like Safari and QuickTime and a few other things. Do you notice that on the Mac platform?
Some updates are automatic. I think the ones I've said can be automatic are automatic. Mail and things like that. But most of them I do get a prompt saying, would you like to do that now or later, or what would you like to do? And I get to decide, but you can download a program. I can't remember what it was called.
How often do you get them?
Grizzly or something starting with G.
If it's not a personal question.
Are they
like a weekly thing? Or
weekly, fortnightly, something
same
like
as,
that.
Same as the PC, same as Microsoft?
Pretty much, yeah. But there was a program that a friend put on my computer that I promptly got rid of because it was just annoying the hell out of me, where a little prompt would come up whenever the computer wanted to do anything automatically, and it would make you say yes, okay, no, yes, okay, no to absolutely everything that it came up with. And it came up with a lot when that was installed. So I think
that's standard on Windows 7 until you turn it off. And
it was worse on Vista. But that sort of thing would be very useful, though, if you were, say, if you were using a mobile broadband plan where you had very little data allowance.
Yes.
That sort of thing to say, look, I don't want you to check for updates now. I don't want you to do this now. Do this when I'm at home on my connection that's a lot cheaper.
Like quite recently when I was tethering, we were without internet, so I was tethering to my iPhone to rely on that for internet, and I would get, all of a sudden the podcast would start auto-updating and I was like, I can't do 70 meg right now.
I've got another very important thing to say on the subject of updates, if I can have another moment, because I know Andrew's looking there anxiously
Graham's
waiting to
having a
play.
Moment.
I'll get There's the painting couch.
Microsoft released, I think today or in the last couple of days, an update to what they call Windows Live Essentials. Now, this is things like this is like the Live Toolbar, what used to be called MSN, the instant messaging program.
Oh yeah.
The Microsoft free mail program, which isn't included in Windows anymore. And all those other sorts of social things that you add on to your Windows machine, particularly if you happen to be a younger person, you're probably using this to communicate with all your friends and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Now, it's unusual.
I don't use it. Mark Diggins uses it. Actually, I have seen it.
Well, I use the instant messaging part of it and not much else of it. But on my machine today, it popped up as a what's called an important update, which means it's one of those updates that installs automatically on most machines. And it was going to update this this package of all these programs, which includes the MSN Messenger and the mail program and all that sort of stuff. And that's unusual for them to want to install a whole new version of that as a Windows update. And they're obviously doing it because of a security hole in the old version. Absolutely. They want everybody to upgrade. But there is a big problem. If you're running Windows 7, which didn't come with a built-in email program, and you've downloaded the free email program that that Microsoft were offering to download, you know, Microsoft Mail or whatever it's called, and then you install this update, there's a good chance that you will lose all your contacts that you've put in your mail address book.
Is that a feature or a bug?
Well, it's a feature, but it's a feature that has an unintended consequence because they're moving you from the old one to the new one, and it doesn't correctly import move the contacts across for you. So just be very wary of that if you're a Windows 7 user and you've chosen to...
You've just put the shivers up a lot of people's spines.
Yeah, and I intend to, because this is one to be very wary of. And
good
just have a look at the advice. Make sure you back everything up first before you install this particular update. And it's Windows 7 users, if you've downloaded the free mail client, it's the equivalent of what used to be in Windows XP. It was called Outlook Express.
Oh, I remember that.
And then Windows 7 doesn't have Outlook Express in, so there's this downloadable one you could install for free.
Yeah.
And this...
Microsoft product.
And this one takes over from that, but it stores all its data in a different place, and it doesn't migrate the address book properly all the time.
Whoops.
So be very careful of that if you're in that particular situation.
That's very
If
annoying.
You're not in that particular situation, then don't worry too much about it. Let it install its updates. It actually asks, do you want to install all the products, or do you want to only update the ones you've already got, which is good. That's friendly. That's the right way to behave. But, yeah, it just gets it a little bit wrong with his mail program, so be wary of it.
Very good. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. That was Graham warning us all about updates from Microsoft platform in respect to mail, which is very good. Lena's in this evening, and I'm here, Andrew. Just the three of us tonight. Very cozy in here, isn't it?
It is.
We'll get out the beer and Skittles very shortly. If you'd like to talk to us, there's a couple of ways. chat.techtalkradio.com.au. You can come and say hello to us live whilst we're on air, wherever you might be listening to us. Failing that, you can send us a tweet at tech_talk_radio. There's a couple of those in this evening.
And if you're listening on one of our syndicated radio stations or on the pod or through any other means, then you can go to forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
You can.
And participate in online discussions there. You don't have to be listening to the show live to do that.
David sent us a tweet.
Bogus. Hello, David.
His name's Bogus Jimmy online. He said, at Tech Talk Radio, you need to consider taxes when comparing Australian and US Apple prices. Mac shipped direct from China. You were wrong on two counts. Remember last week, or it might have been the week before, where we were talking...
I was wrong.
Where we were talking about the prices on Macs and how that they varied in price between the Australian Mac shop and the US Mac store.
I had both web pages up in front. I don't care about tax or anything else.
Okay, very good.
Thanks, Bogus. That was the difference in price, and I'm asking why.
Thanks, Bogus Jimmy. Keep them coming.
that's a snippet going
okay,
in the next
the difference
thing,
in price on the MacBook was something like $200 in a $1,000-odd machine, was it? So, yeah, GST, yep, fair call. That would take about $100 worth of that on a $1,000 machine.
Excellent. Fiona's also sent us a tweet saying, at Tech Talk Radio, you guys should have a laugh at this. Optus in trouble over misleading customers again. Yes, we're going to talk about that fairly shortly.
Lena's defaming me in the chat.
Is she? I'm not on the chat at the moment. I'm on Twitter. Hang on a sec.
It's a snippet that's going in something next week, please. He said, I was wrong.
Craig W. sent us a thing. He was retweeting Mac rumors. iDOS emulator supports DOS and Windows 3 on iOS devices. Oh, there's a rumor.
Ooh.
Okay.
Keep them coming,
guys. That's
interesting. What else have we got here?
There's a great DOS emulator called DOSBox for Windows, which allows you to run your old DOS games from the 1980s. You can still run them on Windows 7 using this DOSBox. It's really cool.
DOSBox.
Yeah, good name for it. DOSBox.
Yeah.
DOSBox.
And I have a question here.
I was playing Carmageddon the other night. It's very cool.
A question here. This is Coro. Have you worked out? We're doing it backwards because Ron's not here to keep us in order this evening. This one I'll probably direct at you, Graham, because of your expertise in these areas.
Uh-oh.
Then put him on the spot here. This is from Bruce CW.
Hello, Bruce.
And he's got a Wi-Fi problem. Says, hi guys, I enjoy your show. I have a problem I'd like to ask you about. I've been unable to create a wireless connection from an Android 1.6 tablet to a Vista laptop hotspot. On the whole of it, doesn't sound too difficult.
Okay.
I've succeeded in establishing the Vista hotspot, and everything's working okay. I've connected the tablet to several other Wi-Fi LANs, that is, the local McDonald's and wireless routers, etc.
Okay.
But for some strange reason, I cannot get the tablet to connect to the Vista hotspot. The tablet does not detect the SSID, which is the broadcasting thing, yeah, which says, hi, I'm this network. And if I put it manually, put it into manual, it gives a not in range error. Any ideas? So we've got a Vista hotspot and a Wi-Fi connect problem to an Android tablet, which seems most odd in this day and age, because there's not much to wireless networking in the handshaking side of things, is
there? Yeah. I would check with his Vista hotspot that he hasn't used any unusual characters in the SSID.
Oh, yeah. So keep it simple.
There might be some Kiss characters. Simple. There might be some, you know, punctuation or special characters that maybe technically you're not supposed to use in an SSID, but perhaps some other providers are being a bit slack and letting it go through. But your other thing isn't. Also have a check on your Vista hotspot to make sure that broadcasting is turned on, so that it is broadcasting its SSID, because that might be as simple as that.
Oh, very good.
I would try changing the SSID to something very simple and making sure broadcasting is on, and beyond that, seek the assistance of your local geek.
Yeah, there's plenty of them. Your little 10-year-old at the local primary school will probably be able to point you in the right direction. Thank you very much,
and if Bruce. If that doesn't help, Bruce, if you want to hit the forum and post up a whole, as much detail as you can of exactly what you're trying to do, then we might be able to look into it a little bit deeper.
Very good. All right. Yes, one more thing before we go to the break and our big announcement for our last show for 2010. Coming up very shortly. Hello to Jess. She wanted a cheerio. She's in the chat room. Come along and say hello to us.
We do cheerios?
We just did. No, we don't do cheerios.
No.
We don't take
telephone calls. Sorry, Jess. No cheerios.
No cheerios. But anyway, g'day, Jess.
She's got three.
she did. Now they'll all be at it. You watch. Mount Everest is gaining its own mobile phone base station. I thought this was quite humorous, and no, this is not the odd spot.
Okay.
Scandinavian telecoms company, Telesonera, if that's how you pronounce it, has scaled the peaks of the 3G provision with the service in the Mount Everest area of Nepal. It's amazing,
so I can climb Mount Everest and still get on the internet with 3G. Yes.
Help, I'm stuck. Where are you? I'm on Mount Everest. Send a party now. The company's local subsidiary, Nacelle, has installed a 3G base station to allow locals and mountaineers to keep in touch with family and friends. By the end of next year, Ncel plans to provide a network of over 90% of the country, assuming that being Nepal. Sounds good. Mountaineers, rock climbers alike,
You'd get good Everest. Coverage from the top of Mount Everest, wouldn't you? It'd be a good spot to put your radio mast.
It's interesting because mobile phone networks are not designed to be up high mountains. They're designed to be down in valleys
service limited area.
It's one of the reasons why they don't let you use mobile phones in aeroplanes, because you're in range of so many cells. The poor network's going to have conniptions working out how
That's why your calls drop out when you drive across the Westgate Bridge.
Yeah, that's a big bridge here in Melbourne, but that's another story.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Last week, Graham, you alluded to an event which was forthcoming. We now have all the arrangements in place for the last Tech Talk Radio.
And we're allowed to talk about it officially?
Yes.
The committee said yes?
Everyone said yes.
Yes.
Good. Even got approvals from Julia Gillard on this one.
Did we?
Yeah, something we've never done before.
I doubt that.
And I'm going to hold you and Dr. Ron personally responsible for this.
Listen up, for the final episode of 2010, Tech Talk Radio will be broadcasting live from the Sophia Family Restaurant in Burwood East. Put the date in your calendar now, Monday the 6th of December at 7 p.m. Meet the panel, meet like-minded listeners, enjoy Sophia's world-famous hospitality, and be part of Tech Talk Radio's first outside broadcast. Make your reservation now by calling Sophia on 03-9803-5299. Sophia Family Restaurant is a proud sponsor of Tech Talk Radio's 2010 end-of-year extravaganza.
If you've seen some of the stuff on YouTube, it looks a bit strange.
Whilst it is a high-def machine, it's only 720p.
Fraud-def.
Yeah, fraud-def. Yeah, exactly. Take note, Apple, HDMI output cable and carrying case.
Why would I want an Apple TV without a hard drive?
What you're describing is bloatware. The handset formerly known as the iPhone.
Entertaining.
I don't like spam.
Informative.
There are public VPN services.
Independent.
They run up to, what, 400, 500?
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Oh dear, the cat's out of the bag now. Yes, we're doing OB.
The message has gone live.
Outside broadcast.
OB is the outside broadcast, yes.
Yeah, and people are starting rumours already on the chat.
Yes.
So if you want, what were you saying during the break, Graham? You're saying that everyone must ring Sophia's.
Yes, please ring Sophia's on that number that we mentioned in the promo, which I don't have in front of me, which is really slack.
Neither do I. I'll put it,
we'll, show notes.
Put it we'll up on find the website.
That, to just book in so that we know how many are coming.
Come along.
There's no,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, it's going to be a great time. And
so if you're in Melbourne, feel free, ring up, come along, have a pizza with us.
Yeah, out in the eastern suburbs. It's
Dr. Ron will be roving with a microphone in the audience.
Yep, there's heaps of parking. It's a great place to go. There's lots of space. There's no dramas there. And
we've got security, so be careful.
It's a nice, relaxed sort of atmosphere.
They have guns.
You can. They do not. It's a nice, relaxed sort of place. It's basically pizza, pasta, sort of sort of food.
Big space for us.
Yeah, it's.
We thought it's about time we did something for Christmas. We've been on air for 6 years. We figured we should do something.
Yeah, it's going to be
come along and say
great
goodnight.
Time.
Anyway, that's you'll hear more about that as we get closer. There might even be giveaways. In fact, I'm sure there'll be giveaways.
From what I gather, there should be giveaways.
But let's not spill the beans just yet. So anyway, there you go. Tech Talk Radio, Christmas party, live OB, December 6th, Sophia's in Burwood.
Yep, you come down, have a nice pizza or pasta meal and listen to Tech Talk Radio and see us all live.
Indeed. You don't have to use a chat that night. You can have your own chat in the corner over a pizza.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be good. All right. Adam Turner, our regular, who is very regular. He's been on the show for years.
Adam Turner, one of Australia's leading technology journalists, does our View from the Couch every week.
Yeah, View from the Couch. I remember the agony we had over choosing the segment name. He said, just call it View from the Couch. Okay, good. Now the couch has been mobile.
The reason it's from the couch is because he specialises in home entertainment and all that sort of, the digital lounge room.
Exactly.
Exactly. So
if you've got questions in the OB,
that's a particular area of interest.
It should be a good night, the OB. You can ask all these questions.
Absolutely.
2 hours of radio. It'll be good. Then we can all go home and have Christmas. anyway, Adam this week has had the couch at home, and he's talking about blogging because we spoke a little bit about blogs before in the opening of the show. So what's it all about? You want to get a blog going? How easy? What do you do? Hosting? It's too hard? Who knows? WordPress, all those sort of things. Lots of words. Hopefully this puts a little bit of light into it. Get your own blog going. Talk about things. Talk about video games. All sorts of stuff.
Beware of cheap blog hosting, because you get what you pay for. If you're looking for cheap hosting for your blog, be careful you don't get screwed on customer service. If you want to set up a website, you need a hosting company. Basically, someone who will store your website in their server farm. Plenty of services will host a small static website for free. But blogs are more complicated because they require a back-end database to generate pages on the fly. Search around and you'll find free blog hosting services, but often with limitations on advanced features. If you want to fully customize a blog using a content management system such as WordPress, Movable Type, Joomla or B2 Evolution, you'll probably end up paying a few dollars per month for hosting. The two key variables when choosing a host for a blog are usually storage and bandwidth. How big can your blog get and how many visitors can it handle? These days there are quite a few all-you-can-eat hosting deals around, offering unlimited storage and unlimited bandwidth. They sound like the perfect deal, but when you read the fine print, you'll find there's still a limitation on processing power. Every time someone visits your blog, the back-end database requires processing power to generate the page. And that's processing power that you're probably sharing with other websites if you're on a cheap hosting deal that runs several websites from the one physical computer. You'll find that the dirt cheap hosting companies can be very stingy when it comes to processing power, even though it's only mentioned in the fine print. If you're on a really cheap deal and your blog gets too much traffic, even if it's just spammers or botnets or search engine crawlers, you'll quickly cross the hosting company's processing threshold because the database is working so hard to produce all those web pages. Unfortunately, cheap hosting companies tend to shoot first and ask questions later. They'll pull the plug on your blog, take it offline, and then send you a vague email about excess CPU usage, and they'll do very little to help you rectify the problem. Basically, they don't really want your business. They only want blogs which run on the smell of an oily rag. As soon as your blog becomes a burden, they'll burn you. One simple way to cut down on your blog's processing usage is to cache pages, saving a copy for 10 minutes or so you don't need to rebuild the same page from scratch every time someone visits. You also might want to look at spam and botnet blocking options, such as the ability to produce an error page for traffic coming from specific IP addresses or specific usage agents. If you can give them a static error page rather than producing a full blog page, it's going to seriously cut down on your CPU usage. Make sure you investigate these options when you're choosing a blogging platform to know what can and can't be done. As for choosing a hosting company, do your research. Look into processor usage policies on the cheap deals and check out customer feedback as to how the host responds if you experience a traffic spike. Otherwise, the day your blog hits the big time is the day you'll discover how stingy your cheap hosting company really is.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Adam's just come up on the chat and said that obviously something's happened. he was prompted to write that because of issues with a provider.
Ah.
I remember when we had issues with a provider too. We used to be, when we first got going and the radio show was growing, the bandwidth demands on podcasting was, it started off relatively low, but it grew.
Mm.
And it kept growing and it kept growing. And when it got to about 10 terabytes a month...
Yeah, you'd found an American provider where you were hosting the podcast files.
Yeah, you can only really do it out of the States because everything in Australia is prohibitive.
Mm.
And anyone
they said unlimited bandwidth, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like Optus. The word unlimited just comes strangely into use.
Mm. And then when the show got popular, they said, oh, you're using too much.
Yeah, yeah. They said, no, that's not on. You're using too much bandwidth. But it's unlimited. You're pulling down everybody else's sort of... issue, so we had to change.
Tech Talk isn't hosted with them anymore.
No. Well, no. Correct. Correct. I think we changed ISPs, and you do, as Adam says, you got to pay for it, and I think we're paying for it now, and you know, like our bandwidth, I think, is around about 25 terabytes a month in podcasting, which you can't do. If you try and do it, one of the free services here locally, they like putting their own ads in it and doing stuff like that, and we thought, that's not on for our listeners. We don't want them to be, you know, subject to other people's ads, which we have no control over. So we opted to end up paying for it. So it all comes out of the States and massive amounts of bandwidth, which in Australia is pretty hard to do. So you've got to take that into consideration, I guess, when you're doing blogs and stuff like that. You know, right now, you know, Lena's blogging. She's been online for 6 months there about, but, you know, in 6 years' time when the whole world's reading her blog, she clicks enter and the lights dim, you know. It's
The ninjas come down from the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, anyway. Yeah.
And that's all what goes on in the background when you have a successful podcast or a successful blog. There's that back end you've got to worry about.
Mm.
Exactly.
Where it's got to be.
Exactly. So, and a lot of people don't cater for future expansion. As soon as you start running video, move on. But use YouTube for video because then it gets indexed, which is all really good. Well, it depends. I guess so. Anyway, Tech Talk Radio is the show that you're listening to.
Yes.
You can come along and say good day. Chat.techtalkradio.
All that back-end stuff to let you listen to this show.
Absolutely. So you wanted to know, didn't you? And Adam told us about blogging and stuff like that. But, you know, WordPress. I use WordPress. That's great.
Me too. Dr. Ron uses WordPress as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's two types. You can either use WordPress.com, which is their hosted environment in the United States.
Yep.
Or you can use WordPress.org, which lets you download the software and install and it on your own server, which is what Dr. Ron does. So if you've ever been
because
to Dr. Ron's blog
and
it runs slowly, you'll know why.
It's not WordPress's fault. It's Dr. Ron's slow links to the internet.
Yes, yes. He says he's just up here on the hill, actually. It's not too far away.
Mm.
So anyway.
We're too far for him to make it down tonight.
Well, yes. Yeah, I think he's in the city. I'll look him up on latitude in a minute. I'll tell you where he is. But, I went to the zoo today. By the by. Saw the new baby elephants at Melbourne Zoo. That was really good. I was excited.
Right.
Kids thought it was great, too. They are. They're big. They make a lot of noise and they smell.
Yeah.
Turkey lifts its ban on YouTube. Did you know that the country otherwise formerly known as Turkey... Didn't see any turkeys there, lots of birds, has obviously had an issue with YouTube in its recent times, but the other day lifted its ban on the video website. So... Apparently, Turkey, what does it say here? Turkey's founder, Mustafa, I'm going to get myself into trouble here. Turkey's founder, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, sorry, I really can't pronounce that. That's
Atatürk, is it?
Atatürk, that's the one. He was removed, and Turkish state-run news agency Anatolian reported from the weekend, and as a result, YouTube, which had been blocked since May 2008, should now be freely accessible to Turkish users. I don't know, is that good or bad? There's a lot of interesting stuff on YouTube.
Removing bans on sites like YouTube's got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a form of censorship, I guess.
Yes.
It is.
The ban was widely criticised, even by Turkey's president, Abdul Gül. Once again, apologies, who used his Twitter page to condemn the move. That's not bad for a president having a Twitter account. That's impressive, isn't it? Anyway, he said he'd ask for responsible institutions for a solution. And he's obviously got it. So well done. Hi, Turkey, if you're watching on YouTube. They're not.
Which they're not, because no. We're not on YouTube.
Correct.
And while we're podcasting.
While we're talking about other interesting things that have happened, you know how we had this data retention issue, which has sort of been pushed to the back burner again, but still simmering away in Australia at the moment? That is that the government, for security reasons, wants us to keep...
In fact, wants your ISP to keep all sorts of records about what you've been doing online.
Correct. Mm.
So that if they want to go and snoop around later on, they can do so.
Well, apparently they're having a bit of a go at VoIP now. I don't know how they're going to do this, but they... Anyway, the Attorney General's Department has shifted from landline telephones to IP telephony as the trigger for its secretive data retention process. The proposal came to light, or it was in June this year when we were talking about it, when reports emerged that the government could require ISPs to retain web traffic data for law enforcement purposes. That's a lot of data to keep, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yes.
I know that Telstra... The phone company keeps all A and B call records, so they can tell you who you rang at what particular point in time. They don't keep the...
They wouldn't keep them forever, though, would they?
They don't keep the content. Oh, they keep them for quite some time. They use it for law enforcement and evidence-type sort of purposes. And the other thing they do as well is they keep SMSs, because that's easy to store, and they keep them for a couple of weeks. So every time you send an SMS, don't think it's just disappearing out there into the ether. If you're sending the wrong SMSs, then they might be used in evidence against you, according to a well-known source. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, anyway, little detail has been made available so far with the Attorney General's Department stating that publicising the proposal, I wish I could read tonight, may lead to premature, unnecessary debate. So, describing the good old days of landline telephones... Assistant Secretary Catherine Smith noted in IP telephony providers would no longer store users' phone records for billing purposes. So I guess this is it. Where Telstra used to provide this service and everyone's gone VoIP, they're now having to do store and forward for VoIP, because everyone's using VoIP. I use VoIP. I use VoIP at the office
for my outbound. I use VoIP for my new business phone line. Yep.
I think Telstra's losing a lot of revenue because of VoIP, because everyone's... There are even some houses and some homes
it's so easy.
Which no longer even have a fixed line. Everything's done on the mobile or over VoIP because people have got these naked DSL thingies coming down the track. So
it's us.
You're the same, are you?
Mm-hmm. Naked DSL and VoIP.
You've just changed providers, haven't you?
We did. We stayed with iiNet, but we grabbed Bob.
You got a Bob?
Yep.
Dr. Ron's got a Bob. You're sharing
how
Bob.
How are you finding Bob?
Nice. Yeah, how are you finding Bob?
He's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, he keeps quiet in the corner.
Did he drop out?
It did for a little bit, and we had to change a few settings around.
Okay.
The net just kept sort of falling
down.
Are you
on an ADSL2 connection? Because you really need a good ADSL2.
I think we are.
She's the tech head in the family, can you tell?
I think we are, yeah.
That's left in hubby's domain.
Your problem, Andrew, Lena's a gamer, so all she cares about is ping.
Yep.
She cares about her ping time. She doesn't care about bandwidth or speed or anything else. Ping time is everything. And what's your ping time?
That's a very personal question.
It varies.
Yeah, to your favourite game server.
Oh. Well, it
still varies.
Yeah, it varies. You can't pinpoint the ping.
Adam wants to know is Bob happy that you're naked?
He's thrilled.
Is he?
Yes.
Excellent.
Thrilled in the corner there, just watching.
Bob is eyeing its phone offering. It's a little all-in-one sort of box that sits in the corner, and you connect your modem to it. Well, it is a modem.
It connects you to the internet and provides a cordless phone built into the thing and all that sort of stuff.
It's a Belkin device, I believe.
Yeah, and I believe also that iiNet send out batteries every 12 months for you to keep you connected, because Dr. Ron got his batteries.
I heard about that. I think that's a really nice touch that they did that for him. I think it was 5 years or something, wasn't it?
Was it?
It's something really long where they said, hey...
Oh, my AAAs wouldn't last that long.
But they were saying, hey, it should be conking out right about now. Here's some freebies.
5 years. Now, Bob hasn't been out that long.
No, it couldn't have been five.
Must be a year.
Must be, 12 months.
All right. Optus. We had a tweet from someone before. Optus are up to no good again at the moment. Opens up Galaxy tablet registrations. Now, remember seeing these? This is the Samsung device.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which looks very... Well, I won't say looks, but it functions from all intents and purposes. Very similar to an iPad. Optus plan to give first dibs on the Samsung Galaxy tablet to its Galaxy S smartphone customers. Now, that's a lovely phone too, by the way. Have you played with one of those?
I think I have, actually. Yeah, one of my customers has got one, and they're those ones run the Android operating system, but they're really nice, phones. I'm pretty sure I'm thinking of the right ones.
There's a TV
Android
for them as well.
Yeah,
they are. Optus sent exclusive invitations by text message apparently yesterday, linking existing customers to a mobile web page that it had established to take orders. Customers were required to respond before the November the 4th, so it's not far off. So the Optus team will call you back and organise all that sort of stuff. So there you go. This is the new Galaxy tablet.
Interesting.
I'm quite looking forward to seeing one of those. I wonder if obviously it's going to be in store before Christmas.
And presumably it'll be running Android on the tablet, is that?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I think that was it. I don't recall.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Competition for Apple.
All sorts of new things that are coming out at the moment, isn't there? iPrimus are going to put excess charges on their 3 gig plans too, which I thought was quite interesting, because everyone's going, here, take it as much as you can have, but we'll charge you for it and slow you down or shape you. But iPrimus has announced it will charge extra excess data usage fees on a series of their revamped 3G wireless broadband plans.
Oh, okay, 3G wireless, not 3 gig. Yeah,
yeah, not on your ADSL. The ISP speed... Sorry, the ISP internet products run on the Optus 3G network, sorry. iPrimus will cut the monthly access fees on its 1 gig plan in half and introduce a new 2 gig quota option priced at $25 a month. So we're getting really competitive in this price bracket at the moment for wireless broadband, but obviously people are pushing the limits a little bit too, so they're feeling the need to
What's been good in that market, there's been lots of... The problem with the mobile broadband market has been that there's always been these excess usage charges, and the good development lately is all the plans that have been coming out from some providers that are shaped like your normal ADSL ones are. So when you hit the limit, you get slowed down. So
really? That's really good. Who's shaping on NextG or Wallet?
I wish I could bring it to mind.
I haven't come across any.
But
of those.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, perhaps I'm wrong. But this seems to be charging excess data again, which is, we've got to get to the point where you're not getting charged for excess data, where there's some sort of limit placed when you get to your limits, or it's, speed limited or limited to certain sites or something like that, so that you can't have this bill shock from without warning.
Excellent. Well, what I was trying to say was Speedster, that's the actual product name that iPrimus have got. They've also got a 6 gig product, which will remain roughly the same price, $39 a month. Okay. But still, $39 for 6 gig. I wonder what the speeds are that you get on there. Because, like, of recent times, I've been doing quite a bit of speed testing just because I can, and in evaluation of networks. And let me tell you, people sort of think that, oh, look, I've got a 7.2 meg modem. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. You're lucky to get a couple hundred kilobits if you're in the wrong spot or you're sharing in a big load area. That's the latest from iPrimus. Now, in other news, let's talk about the government for a bit, because we haven't spoken about Mr. Conroy's antics of recent times. There seems to be a big brouhaha over the NBN and its financial viability, which is not a tech issue, so we haven't really spoken too much about it, and we're not really going to go down that line tonight. But Conroy's also lobbying against the .xxx domain name. Now, we spoke about this, I think, a couple of months back, where ICAM, which is the...
We've been speaking about this since 2005.
Well, when it was first
mooted,
wasn't it?
Since the show first started, yeah.
But anyway, for those that are of that ilk, the .xxx domain name will certainly come into some form of operational by soon they're talking about it. The start of 2011, if not sooner, is when they're talking about it. But Mr. Conroy doesn't seem to like it.
No.
And has moved to block the introduction of this top-level domain, citing a lack of identified public benefit. Well, I would have thought it would make it easier to block. If you wanted to block a domain name, you could block the whole top-level domain, which means that...
But what would be the point of that?
Well, for those...
Because not all adult sites are going to have .xxx domains.
No, but the ones that do are going to be easy to block.
If you block the .xxx domain in its entirety, they'll just have a second...
Don't say that too quick.
They'll just have a second... domain name that you can access the site through that's not a .xxx.
Maybe, but then again, you look at reputation in some of these organisations. There are ones that are well reputable and ones that are not quite so reputable, and maybe the more reputable ones will move into that domain category.
So that'll still leave the disreputable ones.
It will, using, but it means at least
so you'll still achieve nothing.
Well, I don't know. Wouldn't you be able to wipe off a domain quite easily? Because I could easily do that on my router at home. I could say, don't block any .xxx. So I know as a parent, then wacko, I've got rid of half of them.
No one wants this. Getting rid of half of them or just blocking a whole top level domain doesn't achieve anything because there's no compulsion for adult sites to use the .xxx domain. So you achieve nothing by that.
Look, you're probably right.
Users don't particularly want it. The adult industry themselves don't want it. They're lobbying against it as well.
Really?
Yes, they are. If you go and look at the adult industry associations, I can't remember the name of the one in Australia, but they're dead set against it as well. The XXX domain is being pushed by a private company who simply want to have another namespace that they can sell registrations in.
Ah, and so that's the motive.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's not something that's going to benefit the adult industry because, you know, it's just another... And it's going to be quite a significant cost to register your .xxx domain if you're in that industry. It's not going to help with filtering or blocking purposes because there's no compulsion to move all the adult sites into that domain space. So it really doesn't achieve anything, doesn't benefit anybody. It's just another name. It's just more...
So we really don't need it.
More confusion in this. We don't need it. No one wants it.
All right.
And, yeah.
Well, maybe, Mr. Conroy, you're barking up the right tree this time.
I think he is.
He urged ICANN to seek advice about the proposed contract from its Government Advisory Committee, which comprises members of Australia and more than 100 other nations. He highlighted concerns over the public privacy implications of .xxx and substantive differences between the current contract and that initially considered by ICANN in March 2007. So it's been around for a while. In fact, it even started back in 2004, if I remember. I think that's when we first talked about it. And it got knocked on the head back then, but it's revisited itself. It's revived itself. The phoenix has risen from the ashes in recent times. It looks like it's scheduled to hit our desktops in 2011. But anyway, Graham and a lot of people are against it. So there you go. See, that's what we do here on Tech Talk Radio. All righty then. The ACCC demands Optus labelled throttle speeds sub-broadband. What do you think about this, Graham? You're all up for this. This is what they're up against. But the competition watchdog, the ACCC, has said that Optus should have advertised that users of its unlimited plans would be throttled to, and in quotation marks, sub-broadband speeds after exceeding their peak download quotas. So they're obviously pulling you back down to 56K dial-up connection, obviously, because apparently everything over that's a broadband.
Well, it depends on your definition of broadband.
Broadband? Broadband was really those really slow entry level.
Well, this
ones
is effectively what they're saying here. Yes, this is speeds that are so slow that then they wouldn't be considered broadband.
Well, anyway, the ACCC filed a case against Optus over advertising for bundled phones and internet products that it claimed were misleading and deceptive. I must admit, the ACCC is probably their top client would have to be Optus. I would imagine they seem to be forever in there having a go at them about words such as unlimited and no limits and things like that, which at no point in time, I think Optus's argument is that you'd be really hard pushed to use the whole limit, but by definition, unlimited means literally no limits. So they're trying to redefine the English language. Anyway,
there are some of these where Optus have done the wrong thing, and there are some where really they're going after Optus for absolutely nothing. To use the phrase internet, internet without limits, doesn't mean anything because they're not saying what part of it is not limited. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's, sort of. It's like SMSs. They say unlimited SMSs, but by goodness me, there's a limit.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm not saying, you know, that you can say unlimited, but you have to say what is unlimited. Unlimited bandwidth, unlimited, you know, in your case, physical count of SMSs. You're talking about unlimited speed over the line. See, a lot of ADSL services in the old days were limited. The actual connection speed was limited. So you could have unlimited data, but you can only physically get a maximum speed of 1.5 megabits per second.
Yep.
So that's a different type of limit. You've got to say what you mean, and just using a word in isolation doesn't mean anything.
Just by the way, on that one, when I was in the States, they've changed their model for their internet. When you buy it over there, the faster your internet connection, the more you spend. There's no limits, you just keep using the service.
But there's no download bandwidth limits.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And it's basically you get a really slow service and you cheap as chips, and you get an ultra fast service, and rather expensive. That's not a bad way of doing things, is it? When you think about it.
It's the way it should be.
While we're on the subject of the US, telco suppliers claim that they're getting 100 megabits per second over copper. Now, that's not too bad, is it? Sorry.
What's going on over there? You got devices going off.
Oh, look, someone sent me a text, and I've got this great new... See, all these great new gadgets that you got coming out at the moment. Reads text back to me. It's good.
I see.
See? And put it in silent mode.
And how long have you been doing radio now?
Well, see, the thing is, it caught me out the other day. I was doing a film shoot, and I put my phone into silent, but it just continuously reads text out, even though you're in silence. Very embarrassing. But anyway, I've been caught out again. Sorry, beer to everyone. The US telco supplier claims 100 megabits per second on copper. Vendors have released recent information which says that over VDSL networks, which is very high-speed digital subscriber lines, they're managing to achieve these speeds. They don't go on to say over what distance that they do.
Yes.
But anyway, VDSL, I would have thought that's probably older technology, well, which we're trying to get rid of in this country anyway.
For goodness sake, don't tell the Federal Liberal Party, because they'll latch onto that and say, oh, God.
Really?
That's
the man from Wentworth?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got some interesting ideas about those sort of things, hasn't he?
Hmm.
He sort of almost agreed about the NBN the other day.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
It wouldn't go as far to say that, but he was basically saying, well, you know, if we can prove it financially viable then, and it's good return on investment for Australians, then, yeah, it's not too bad. Anyway. Right, what else has been happening? Oh, back on Optus again too, and another story, which I think is worth a mention this week. Optus has argued in the federal court that it is not possible to disclose every feature of a broadband product in TV and billboard advertising, and that it should have been permissible to make certain disclosures at the point of sale, such as a retail store or website, instead. Do you agree with that, lady and gentlemen?
Yes.
Why?
Because, as I said before, there's more than one factor involved. There's when you're selling that sort of product, you just couldn't deliver it all that information in a 15 second ad or on a billboard that you look at for 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I'm just asking why.
The speed of service, the bandwidth limitations, the speed limitations, what happens when you reach your limit, whether you get shaped or whether you get charged excess charges, what your contract periods are, all that sort of stuff.
As a person,
what other bundles might be bundled in with it.
As a person who makes television commercials, there is the line that says, see in store for details.
Yeah.
Which does not appear on Optus commercials. Not that I've noticed, anyway. I could be wrong, but I have not seen them on Optus commercials. So maybe there's the way around it. But anyway, the carrier was subject to court challenge by the ACCC and consumers.
But on the other hand, you can't say unlimited downloads and then on the details when you get to the website say, oh, well, there really is a limit. You can't do that.
No, that's true. That's misleading advertising.
But you could say broadband without limits and then say, oh, well, there's no limit on this or that or the other thing, but there is a limit to the speed you can achieve or something like that.
Perhaps broadband without limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, define what limits are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, the carrier was subject of a court challenge.
There's no limit to what you can achieve, I think, is what they say.
Is that what they say? But that's not talking
about... I've been trying to think of that for the last 10 minutes.
That's getting a bit
stretching the friendship,
that's right,
isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, yeah.
So you remember the Telstra issue a while back when the ACCC made them pull the ads? They said that NextG was everywhere you needed it.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Yes.
So yeah, it's we're you know, drawing straws here, metaphorically speaking, limits are limits, really.
What do you think of those new Telstra ads with the anime style or the Japanese cartoon and the very racist voiceovers?
Haven't seen them.
I'm trying to think of what it is. Really? Tell us about it.
I think
I've seen one as a girl on a bus, but that's not a Telstra ad.
No, that's a
train thing or something. But what's the Telstra one?
It's similar to that sort of comic style, anime type thing. And it's got, you know, people flying through the air in that typical anime style, and I think it's advertising the mobile broadband, maybe.
The new Turbo 18, the really whiz bang fast thing. Yeah.
Mm. And it's all, you know, they've got Asian sounding voiceovers doing the voiceover work that I don't actually think they're Asian people. I think they might be doing a bit of a caricature.
Well, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, you are, but it's it still didn't taste very nice.
Oh, really? You found it offensive as a viewer, did you? Did it irk you, get your hackles up?
Not offensive, and it didn't get my hackles up, but I did kind of go, ugh, you know, that sort of nasty taste in the back.
I'll have to keep my eyes out for this now.
That feeling is, we don't really do that anymore.
We don't stereotype anymore.
So it made you feel uneasy on the couch.
A little bit.
You?
Yeah. If I was on the production team making that ad, I'd be going, guys, really?
Like the guys in blackface on Hey Hey. Yep. Yeah, that sort of feeling.
I know what they're trying to do, but we don't really do that anymore.
Yeah, we used to think that was funny. Yeah, that sort of feeling, yeah. Mm.
Oh dear.
Mm.
Keep an eye out for it anyway.
Haven't seen those. I presume you have to actually watch free-to-air television to see the ads.
Yeah.
I see that would be where I miss out.
It's very colourful.
Don't you watch free-to-air television?
Why would you? Mm. Do the free-to-air television providers in this country give you any incentive to actually use their service to actually watch free-to-air television?
Let's get out the soapbox now, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
do they? No.
No, they don't. They like cutting things off. And
he's waving the
like
flag of the underserved customer.
Yes.
Mm.
So you're you don't have pay TV, do you? You're not a pay TV guru. You're not a Foxtel person.
Yeah, there's a Foxtel device in the family that I can go and watch if I want to watch Foxtel.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Do you watch Foxtel?
Not very often.
Mr. Packer would be very unhappy to hear that. This is going to be very interesting when Mr. Packer comes in and takes. Apparently, he got offered two seats on the board tonight. He and his mate. On Channel 10.
On Channel 10,
If you weren't aware of it, I'm alluding to something here recently. A couple of weeks ago, it might have been early last week, actually. No, it was at least 2 weeks ago. Mr. Packer has managed to acquire...
Young Mr. Packer.
Yep. Yes. Most of... 20% of Channel 10 in round numbers.
Mm.
And as a result, he's now got a seat on the board. Now, there's a lot of speculation about what's going to happen.
Well, of course, what he did at Channel 9 was he slashed and burned until there was nothing left. And turned Australia's leading free-to-air television channel into just another also-ran. And, Channel 10 have obviously been the commercial stations, the channel that's appealed most to the younger generation. They've put on more innovative shows. They've put on a lot of things that, you know, they've been willing to try and experiment with things that other networks probably wouldn't have. And obviously the fear is that Packer going into Channel 10 is going to slash and burn and cost cut and turn it into yet another...
To a degree. I think a lot of the rumours at the moment is that Mr. Packer has a very big interest in Foxtel, which is where sport is sort of trying to be really ramped up.
Mm.
And, of course, we've got AFL rights and sporting rights coming up, and he wants to have a very big say in that. And so much so that it looks
What he wants is to be able to have a foot in both camps. He wants to have a free-to-air sports outlet as well as his subscription sports outlet, which is Foxtel. So,
One of the biggest,
and that's because he has to deal when he's bidding for events with the anti-siphoning laws, which say that you can't take certain events away from free-to-air television to put them on pay TV.
Yes, all and for anti-siphoning.
But he's trying to, you know, if you're going to tell me I can't take it away from free-to-air and put it on my subscription service, the Foxtel, then I'm going to have a foot in a free-to-air service as well, so that these events that I own can go free-to-air on something that I control.
Rumour has it, and this is allegedly, and this is scuttlebutt and rumour within the industry, is that 1HD will meet its demise and it'll become Sky News.
That's fairly strongly rumoured, and.
And 1HD, is 1HD national? No, or maybe it is. I'm not sure what rural people get to see out there. in recent times. I think it is. It rebrands itself on Southern Cross or something.
It is in Gippsland.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So 1HD might go the way of another news channel. Just what we need. We've got Channel 24 and then we'll have something. But I also believe that there's rumour that Channel 10 is starting a new channel fairly shortly too. Adam will probably know about those sort of things. I should take more of an interest, shouldn't I? I only make programs for the network.
Let's hope they start, that they do something that, I know they won't, but what would be really nice to see would be if they reversed the trend of taking away the mainstream high-definition channels.
Wouldn't it be lovely to see all those and mainstream so Channel 10 programs back in HD?
Those major programs that Channel 10 have got that are big ratings winners for them that are made in HD in the United States are shown in HD at the same time as they're shown on free-to-air.
Yeah, Adam's saying Channel 11's coming.
Channel 11, is it?
Yeah, whatever it's going to be. We've got Channel 90, which went to Gem. Channel 70 went to 73 and became Mate.
Yep.
The ABC turned their HD channel into News. SBS has still got those. It's only a 720, though. And, of course, the only last bastion is really 1HD, which is never... Well, it's not the never. I think it used to rerun... when it first started, it used to run HD off the, you know, all those American sitcoms and some of their originating stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I know as a content provider to Channel 10 that they don't even ask us for HD stuff. It's all going to be SD.
Well, why would they bother? Sport. Yeah, because their HD channel's taken up just with sport.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the joys of it really, isn't it? And, of course, the contempt
with which all the networks are treating the consumer.
Well, look at Channel 7 with the rerun of the grand final. It was beautiful. The first version was HD, 3D, the whole shooting match. The second version, they couldn't care less. It wasn't. They were running MacGyver on Channel 73, which is their HD channel. You would have thought they would have busted into that and given us HD footy. You a footy fan?
Somewhat, yes. Somewhat.
Really?
There's beer there, so I'm
beer there.
Pretty happy, yeah.
Have you got HD in the household for the video games?
No. I haven't got any Blu-ray video games or anything, no.
Oh. I'm looking forward to hearing about the 3D games which are coming out. What's happening with Kinect, briefly? Have you heard any gossip scuttlebutt?
Not a lot of gossip going around, no.
I think one of the big yellow people here who sell things, if you know, I'm sure you know who
I
mean.
Yep.
They've got pre-sale, I think. It's about $180 or something like that for the add-on for your Xbox or something, isn't it?
It's pretty expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that not good value for money?
It depends on the titles. It's one of those things that every console and every add-on depends entirely on the game that can make the most out of the features.
Yeah.
And every console has a major, you know, title that makes it. When it first starts out, and I think we're still waiting to see that for Kinect.
So what we're talking about, Kinect, it's spelled K-I-N, like kinetic.
Yes.
Yeah, they can't trademark a real word. No. I've tried.
and we're talking about it. It's a Microsoft device that attaches to the Microsoft Xbox gaming console.
Indeed.
That allows you to play games without having a controller in your hand. Is that the idea?
Yes, motion control and voice activation.
So it has a little camera and it watches you move. And
Not in that creepy way, but in a handy way.
Okay, good.
But yeah, you can also use it for
I wonder if it comes with a little cover to cover it up.
Maybe.
Just for, when you perhaps don't want... Have you actually watching what you're doing?
Have you actually used one of these Kinect things yet, or have you not had the privilege?
I haven't had the privilege, and not many people have. The whole audience who were in one of Oprah's recent shows got one.
Really?
Yes, before any of the games press did.
Oh.
So they haven't been giving out consoles to even the major games reviewers and
I think maybe one or two might have got one.
Might.
Or may have had. It's quite common for them to have a trip into the studio to have a play and then they have to leave.
They're
watched at all times, leave your phone outside type treatment.
We've seen a couple of demos on YouTube of recent times with there seems to be like a white water rafting game.
Yeah, that one looks fun. That one looks really fun. It seems to be...
you have to jump and you have to
A lot of the... sports-esque, like the Wii Sport sort of games are coming to the Kinect. They'll be included in it, which is good. You won't have to buy an extra game to go on there. I'm pretty sure Whitewater Rafting's on that as well.
Yeah, what happens if you've got a whole heap of other games for your Xbox? Will it still work on this thing, or does it have to be specially written for the
I think it'll
Kinect?
Be a lot like the iToy for the PlayStation 2 and 3, which was it's just a little camera that can help you play certain games, but you can turn it off and just play your regular games like normal.
You going to get one for Christmas? Is this the plan?
No.
No?
No. No, I'm going to wait.
Really?
For its groundbreaking title. Mm. Nothing's really... caught me yet.
You'll wait until there's a game that you want that needs it before you get it. Yeah.
And one that I see looking really good. And
so
go,
if you didn't have a games console and you were about to go and buy one, first one for the family, what would you get?
Depends on the kind of family.
Okay.
If you've already got a media center,
probably
an Xbox.
Yeah. Why? Is it just range of games or connectivity? Yeah.
Big range of games, great parental controls.
Yeah.
Fairly robust console.
What's the media center got to do with it? We're talking about games console.
Yeah, but the PS3 is a fantastic media center.
Yeah, I bought my PS3 for media center. Bugger the
games. Sony's PlayStation 3 is a better media center than it is a games console, is it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think even Adam did a view from the couch a while back saying that it was a really good media center and the games were just a bit
You hear a lot about that, and I'm sure Sony wanted to be that too, so I'm sure Sony would be pleased to hear you say that.
They have fantastic processing power, don't get me wrong. Games generally are a little bit prettier on the PS3 than they are on the Xbox.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've also found that the PS3 lets you watch internet on demand, like iView, for example, without having to go through that goddamn Bravia TV internet thingy. Oh, I hate that. But anyway, much, much better that way. That's my personal opinion. So the Xbox would be the first foray into the market for
which is
a Microsoft product.
Yeah, it's quite interesting for me to say as well, because I only bought my first Xbox this year.
Adam's gone in, but PS3s have more media center features than Xbox.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I agree. And the Channel 7 one on demand appeared magically the other day my PlayStation 3. Did you? Yep. You don't have one,
do you? I don't have a PlayStation 3,
You should get one. They're good.
I don't have a games console at all.
Oh, don't you?
7 Plus, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Something like that.
The iView type.
I've never really had a play with it yet. The difference between the Bravia view is that I believe it routes the signal through their own network, so you don't get it unmetered unless you're fortunate enough to be on one of the ISPs like iiNet, who have unmetered iView.
And Xbox. That's another good tick for the Xbox column.
Oh, do they? Yep. They all, just go direct, do they?
All downloads on Xbox through iiNet are in the free zone.
Okay. Is there a game, like with the PlayStation 3, you can actually log in and go, oh my goodness, look who's walking in the door here at the studio. Oh, no. dear. He's like, no. But if you, he's thrown me now. I was going to say, with the PlayStation 3, it's relatively easy and simple to set up. It plays Blu-rays, it plays DVDs and all that sort of stuff. The Xbox, is that a similar sort of thing? Does that play all the good things?
Doesn't play Blu-ray, and it probably never will, which is a big, big, big flaw on their health,
really?
I think. Yeah.
You sure? That's a big gutsy call. It'll never play.
I'm pretty sure it never will. Not because it can't, but purely because I don't think they want it to.
Okay, there's ulterior motives there.
I think so, yeah.
I have to ask Jeff one day. He was on the show recently talking about it. He's got one in the living room, plays with his kid. He's lucky. But he works for Microsoft. He can do that.
Yeah, the good thing about the 7 Plus that's just popped up on the PS3 as well is you don't need to use your controller to move the mouse like you do on iView in the PS3. You can use your remote and just go up and down.
Oh, okay.
Instead of having to use your mouse and going around.
What about buying stuff online? You know, the games that the kids see when you go to the Sony shop and you can put your credit card in and download. Yep.
You can do that on the Xbox Live Arcade. That's actually what I was playing Costume Quest on this week.
Apparently there's no DLNA on Xbox. I like DLNA.
Yeah, me too.
Digital Living Network Alliance.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. So this is that your devices talk to each other so that when you start playing a game on your Xbox, it automatically turns your big screen TV over to it and turns on your sound system and does that.
Yeah,
it closes the curtains, turns off the lights, locks
Microsoft
the doors.
Microsoft is generally the antisocial kid that doesn't like talking to his friends. Microsoft products generally don't like talking to other devices. I think it's, par for the course, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
But no, I think if you're after a games console that just plays games, Xbox, if you're after a media center and a games console in one gadget, then go your PS3.
Okay.
There you go.
I like my PS3. The kids do too because they just push the power button on the front and the whole telly, everything comes on. And that's what the DLNA is really good
for. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm quite looking forward to seeing how it goes through some new gadgetry that I bought too. Apparently, it's got... Actually, 3D stuff. Have you seen any 3D stuff come out yet in any of the game genres or are we still...
I played... Oh, last year. It was... Yeah, about this time last year, I played the 3D Avatar
a little bit.
And that was... It was
Avatar
pretty special.
Avatar in 3D.
Yeah.
What do you do in Avatar in 3D? Do you just run through...
You run around shooting blue stuff, I guess. I don't know.
I was just
running around the jungle and...
Tron's going to be good.
Yeah.
Tron's coming up very soon. There'll be video games. There'll be all sorts of things for Tron, I would imagine, in the not-too-distant future.
Geek heaven.
Yeah, there's even a movie. IMAX 3D, apparently.
So I hear.
I think we're going. It'll be good fun. Another night out. Don't forget the OB. Do you want to give it a quick plug, Graham, before I push play?
Yes, last show of the year for Tech Talk Radio, December the 6th, Monday, December the 6th. Sophia's restaurant in the eastern suburbs.
Yes, I was just kidding there. Not Bookings at Ticker Tech. Book at local Sophia's.
Yeah, there'll be phone numbers
we'll
and things
that will
all be up on the website. Yeah, that's a good idea.
On Spot Gadget website of the week
coming up. More details in the weeks coming up.
Bye-bye. After this.
Suffering succotash. This has to be the best technology show on the internet. Tech Talk Radio.
Doctor on listening to the stream.
Furious.
Correct. No, no. There's Tony Abbott, are you listening? Wireless is not the answer.
Wacko, I say.
Oh, did you download it?
I did.
I downloaded it too and I thought, what the?
It was brilliant until the power supply blew up.
What's the WAF like?
The WAF is very, very high. It has high WAF.
Entertaining.
He's had the little chip put in the back of his neck.
Informative.
I suppose I may as well just throw that one out.
Independent.
Yeah. I was watching you on Latitude.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I'm on a plane.
Can you hear me?
I'm on a plane.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool. Oh, this thing is amazing.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
And the gadget of the week from HTC, who've been in the smartphone market almost since the beginning of the smartphone market, they've brought out a Windows Phone 7 smartphone. It's called the HTC 7 Trophy. It features a 480 by 800 widescreen display, 3.8 inches diagonal, weighs just 140 grams. It looks like a really nice phone. It's got a 1 gig processor. It's got 8 gig of storage. Got a 5 megapixel camera. It's got talk time of up to 330 minutes. What's that in? That's quite a...
Well, it depends how many apps you've got loaded up. That's misleading.
Is it?
As Dr. Ron and I will vehemently, you know...
Well, yes, if you're running lots of internet stuff at the same time, it'll chew up your battery.
If you've got your Latitude running and your text things running and your speech recognition things, you can do your battery in a few hours.
Well, there you go. It says it's got a standby time of 435 hours, which is not that much. The one I'm looking for here is available from Vodafone in Australia on a $49 a month plan.
With Phone
and,
7.
With Windows Phone 7. Brand new Winfo 7 phone.
Yeah.
So duck down to your Vodafone Outlook and have a look and keep your eye on the press for reviews of this one. It'll be one to follow.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Graham, this could be of interest to you. You ever wanted to build your own logo and never had the money to actually go and invest huge amounts of money and get a designer to design you a Windows logo?
Yeah, definitely.
A business logo.
Business logo, definitely.
Try this website. It's called all the W's, logoyes.com, and you can design your own corporate logo for around $69 US, which isn't too bad in this day and
which
age.
Which is around $70 Australian at the moment.
So tomorrow it'll be cheaper.
Yes.
but basically, you go to this website, you can choose all your, you know, you put your name in, you can choose the sort of genre that you're in. It offers you all sorts of vector-based artwork. Vector-based is what you want, ladies and gentlemen, because that prints to any size. You can print it the size of a bus and it looks crisp and sharp.
Yes, when you scale it up, it doesn't go all steppy and blocky and yuck.
Yeah, but a great place if you're a small business and you don't have the budget for a graphic designer, go and develop your own logo up here and make something that suits you. And $69 is not too shabby in a lot of respects. So you can head off there, which is wslogoyes.com. Have a bit of a look and see how you go.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Tested by that much. I know nothing. Nothing.
Don't ask! For God's sakes, don't ask!
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
And for the Odd Spot, a Hollywood law firm has been forced to ban BitTorrent. Allegedly, leaked emails reveal legal eagles swooped in peer-to-peer in their own nest. A partner from the law firm representing a film industry trade group in its battle against ISP IINet has sent an email around to its staff saying not to ever use BitTorrent on its corporate internet account.
A bit like Fred Nile saying it's for research purposes, isn't it? Yeah.
The firm represented the Australian Federation Against Copyright Theft, which alleged in the federal court last year that IINet authorised illicit copying of films a case in the WAISP one in February. I can't talk either today, Andrew.
See, this is what happens. You put a piece of paper under your nose and it just goes blurry.
Just freak out. Yeah. The allegation, if proven, could be damaging because the film industry has repeatedly claimed that most uses of BitTorrent were illegal despite evidence of legitimate uses for the peer-to-peer protocol.
There are legitimate uses for BitTorrent, and we must remember that.
Yeah, but don't use movies if you're investigating them. That's Tech Talk Radio for the week. Well done, Lena. That was your first.
Yes, congratulations.
You managed to get through that one relatively unscathed. We'll have to put it out to the referee and find out what he thinks when he gets back one day soon. All right, that's Tech Talk Radio for the week. Until the same time, same station, wherever you're listening to us. Thank you for all coming up. A lot of people there in the chat. G'day, Darren in the UK and a few others from all around the place.
And keep your ear on the show in the next couple of weeks.
Damo the Greek was saying he's going to have to get a minibus to get onto the Tech Talk Radio outside broadcast, our last show for the year.
Come excellent, yes. Keep us. December the 6th, free. Come down and see us.
You can do that.
There'll be details on the show for the next few weeks.
All right, that's it. Same time next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McCollum, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Lena van der Venter. Expert opinion is provided by Adam Turner and our US correspondents are Lydia Davis and Mark Diggins. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. The show is broadcast, recorded and streamed live each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wishes to thank all the stations around Australia that rebroadcast Tech Talk Radio each week. Tech Talk Radio is also available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising inquiries, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.